Okay, I'd like to read from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. 1 John chapter 1, 5 to 10. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So as we continue the series about what it means to live by the Spirit and how we keep in step with the Spirit, then today we're thinking about walking in the light. And in the passage I just read, we see that God is light, Jesus is in the light, as well as saying we need to walk in the light. In John's Gospel, Jesus said that he himself was the light. In John 8 verse 12 it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So what does this mean? What does this mean for us in practice? Light is often used as a metaphor both for knowledge and understanding, and also as a metaphor for goodness. And conversely, darkness is a metaphor for ignorance and also for evil. And the link between the two, knowledge and goodness, is not always clear, because sometimes very knowledgeable people can also be very evil people, and vice versa. But we'll see more about this as we go. God's first act of creation was to create light. Light enables us to see clearly and to make sense of the world. And in fact, it's only in the context of Jesus being the light of the world that what we see around us makes any sense, even though a lot of people might believe otherwise. Light shows us the path ahead. It shows us which way is the best way to go. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But light also reveals things which maybe we'd rather it didn't reveal. It might reveal things which we're uncomfortable about, things we might rather not acknowledge. And one of the reasons why light is associated with goodness is that it exposes evil and deception. It's much harder to deceive or to be deceived if we can see clearly what's going on. It's much harder to ambush somebody in broad daylight than it is at night. And for that reason, people who intend evil or deception would often rather stay out of the light. They would rather walk in darkness where they can do stuff which is not seen. So for instance, in John 3, 19 to 21, we've got this. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works are being carried out in God. And in Ephesians 5, we've got this. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And as children of God, as those who hunger after righteousness, we don't need to fear the light or the truth and what that will reveal. On the contrary, we can welcome it. It's good for us to see clearly what's going on and to be confirmed in doing the right thing, or to be corrected if we're going off track. Something which people who intend evil would rather not have. So in Matthew 5, verses 14 to 16, we've got this. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. As we walk in the light and receive his light, we can re-radiate it to the people around us. But if we don't walk in the light, then we won't have anything to re-radiate. If what we're doing pleases God, then the light will confirm it, and that is very encouraging. If we're off track, then the light will show us what corrections need to be made, which will help us to go in the direction we want to go in. So that's also a good thing. It's why David can say in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's not a particularly comfortable prayer to pray, to invite the searching light of God. But by praying it and meaning it, it means we will be led towards becoming more like him. And although it's not comfortable to pray that prayer, we do know that it's safe. We can be sure that God will not condemn us, but rather he will want to draw us to himself, regardless of what is exposed. In Romans 8, verses 1 to 2, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death." But it's important to note that it's God who's doing the searching. It's not us. It's generally very unwise to poke around ourselves for things that we need to repent of, because we just don't have the perspective to do that. And it's all too easy to find things that we can feel guilty for, often unnecessarily, things which perhaps aren't actually there, but we think are there. It's God who does the searching. He has the perspective to see clearly. And in fact, opening ourselves up to God's light in this way can free us from false guilt and self-condemnation. Opening ourselves up to the light is likely to give us encouragement just as well as correction. And either way, it's liberating. It's a win-win situation. We can't lose by letting God's light shine on us and show us what's in our heart. It's also something we can do with the help of others. We can pray with people that God will reveal whatever is on somebody's heart, whether they're on track, whether they're not on track. And sometimes that can be easier. Way back in the 1980s, when I was on a week away with the church I was going to, and we were being ministered to by various people, including somebody called George Telfer and John Hutchinson. I don't know if some of you may recognise those names. But they prayed for me to say, was I on track or were there things that needed correcting? Because it was an issue at the time. And much to my encouragement and somewhat to my relief, they said that I was pretty much on track. That sort of thing can be hard to take on board, but from people who were men of God and who had no axe to grind, I could receive that. And sometimes we need that. We need other people to confirm what the Lord is saying, because we may not trust our own hearing to hear him clearly. In 2013, Steve Newell introduced us to the idea of Inspire groups. And they were intended, amongst other things, to facilitate this sort of mutual help along the journey. Unfortunately, these fizzled out, but the idea still remains valuable, and I'm sure remains something we could benefit from if we want that. Walking in the light, it involves living in honesty and openness, truth and integrity. We hear the word transparency a lot, and basically let the light shine, through. What you see is what you get, rather than something different. And you know, whether that's with ourselves, being honest with ourselves, with each other, with the wider world, or with God, truth is fundamental to our walk with God, and not least because it's actually part of God's essence. And God says he is truth, not just that he is truthful, but he is truth. In Isaiah 45 verse 19, we've got this, God speaking, I did not speak in secret in a land of darkness. I did not say to the offspring of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak the truth. I declare what is right. And in Isaiah 65:16, it says this, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth. And he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and hidden from my eyes. And then in the Gospels, we hear that Jesus is truth. He is full of grace and truth. In John 1:14, it says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he says it again a few verses later, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And in John 14, Jesus himself says he is the truth. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And later on in John's Gospel, we see that the Holy Spirit also is described as the Spirit of truth. In John 15:26, it says, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Truth is fundamental to God. It's how we know that he is reliable, that what he says will happen. What he says is reliable, truth, true and firm. It's 2,000 years almost since Pontius Pilate asked the enigmatic question, what is truth? And perhaps surprisingly, people are still asking that question. And it's particularly relevant in these days, where we hear such phrases as fake news, alternative facts. And people often talk about your truth or my truth, implying that truth is somehow subjective and we can choose it for ourselves. We can decide what is true and what is not true. Now, sometimes what they mean actually is your beliefs or your perceptions, which is fair enough, but not always. There are many people who really would deny the existence of absolute truth completely, and they would give more weight to personal experience. And since about 2016, people have started to talk about a post-truth era, which implies an era which, you know, when not only is the truth hard to come by, but an era when it's not even expected. This is quite a disturbing thought, and it's one where Christians can bring much light, we who do believe in absolute truth. Unfortunately, the Christians themselves are not immune to the spirit of the age and this sort of atmosphere of lack of truth. But if we stand by it, then we can be a force for good. I mean, not that there's anything new about false news or propaganda, but modern communication has made it much easier. In previous centuries, if someone wanted to spread propaganda, they would have to set up their own printing press or a radio station, which is not a trivial thing to do. And also the source of the material would be fairly obvious. But now that the internet exists, anyone can be a broadcaster. And it's also much harder to check the reliability of sources, even if the sources are actually given. People used to say, don't believe all you read in the newspapers, but even more so, it's important not to believe all you read on the internet. It's important to check the trustworthiness of the source before giving it much credence, and even more so before passing it on or sharing it. But the truth, walking in the truth and walking in the light, is vital to the health of any community. As St. John says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Conversely, a lack of truth leads to a lack of trust and is poisonous to any community or any relationship. And truth isn't just refraining from telling direct lies. Truth is also avoiding things like half-truths or putting a spin on facts in order to give a false impression. Anything which is intended to deceive is lack of truth, is falsehood. And although more subtle perhaps than a downright lie, these things are just as much of the darkness and just as corrosive to trust and to the cohesion of a community. Perhaps even more so because they're less easy to call out. And it's not surprising that the enemy is called the father of lies. Lies and a distortion of the truth are weapons which he can use against us, and unfortunately often does. But in contrast to that, we're called to hold tightly to the truth, and if we do that, that can be a strong weapon against him, which sounds like a good move. So in Zechariah 8:16 it says this: these are the things that you should do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. In Psalm 15 verses 1 and 2 it says this: O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. And we're also encouraged to be open with each other, to resolve misunderstandings whenever they may happen. Elephants in the room are also things that the enemy can exploit to cause division. And if he can exploit them, then he will. So in Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15, we've got this: strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. In Matthew 18:15 it says this: if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained his brother. And in Matthew 5:23-24 it says: so if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So if we've caused offence, or if we've been offended against, either way round, it is important that the issue gets resolved. If it isn't, then it will grow like a root of bitterness and cause a lot more difficulty, and it will be very much harder then to root it out. Telling the truth to each other is vital, and not withholding, not having any elephants around. They can leave a nasty mess behind. In Ephesians 4:25-27 it says this: therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbour, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Walking in the light is a powerful weapon against the evil one, as well as being a means of building up community to the benefit of all. Let's just pause for a moment before we have our next song, just to ponder on those things, and then we'll have a next song and then some open prayer.